the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special, and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Sunday, is the 13th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we choose chapter An-Naml, verse 34 to 35. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قالت إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها وجعلوا أعزة أهلها أذلة وكذلك يفعلون.
She said, indeed kings, when they enter a city, they ruin it and render the honored of its people humbled, and thus do they do.
وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ.
But indeed, I will send to them a gift and see with what reply the messengers will return.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Kings are often interested in presents very much, and their weakness is found in this very point. They can be made submit by precious presents. The queen announced, if Solomon, Prophet Sulaiman, submit by these presents, it will know that he's a king, and we will stand against him, applying our power because we are powerful. But if he shows heedlessness to us and insists on his statements and suggestions, it makes it clear that he is the messenger of Allah and we must treat him wisely.
The greatest gift. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
And the continuation of the previous episodes of today's special, we'll look at giving gifts in Islam. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, enjoined responding in kind of favors. As he said in an authentic narration, whoever does you a favor, respond in kind, and if you cannot find the means of doing so, then keep praying for him until you think that you have responded in kind. Whoever does you a favor means whoever treats you kindly in word or deed, or by gifting you. Responding kind means to treat him kindly, just as he has treated you kindly. If you cannot find the means of doing so, means if you do not have the money. Until you think that you have responded in kind means repeatedly. Supplicate for him until you think that you have rewarded him his due.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. At the same time, we find that in the Holy Quran and in the Holy Quran, giving gifts is really appreciated in the Islamic practices. Giving gifts is really appreciated. However, when it comes to giving a gift to a person by way of bribing him or her, this is really abominable and really detestable, because this is a kind of bribe. This is an instance of bribery or usury. And at the same time, it makes the person feel very much, entitled to do whatever the person who has given him or her this kind of present, and in fact, a kind of bribe or a kind of usury. This person who receives this present is entitled to answer whatever the giver wants, in a positive and swift way. We find that in all communities, everybody believes that the human being is a rational and sensational creature. So we find that the best type of human relations take place and may be formed when both the intellect and the heart, that is, both the intellect and the feelings, are in a good proportion to one another. At the same time, this means that based on the characteristics of typical fine and perfect people, as can be seen in the cases of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the cases of the infallible imams, we find that both rationality and feelings, both of them, were in a good proportion. It means that they acted based on a certain logic, and at the same time, they had some positive feelings and reactions to the cases where they've been made happy or delighted.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
on the continuation of today's special. Now, this is the title of this part, To Remove Ill Feelings. By giving gifts, Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, said, if you shake hands with each other, your dislike of one another will disappear. And if you give gifts to each other, malice will disappear. Giving gifts does not have to be for special occasions only. When given with a sincere heart, gift heals ill feeling and misunderstanding between the giver and the receiver. Gift is a great way to mend a relationship. Give gifts, for indeed gifts removes bad feeling from the chest, from the heart. Do not let a person look down upon the gifts given by his or her neighbor, even if it be a sheep shank.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
Now in this part, we look at the best Islamic gifts idea for everyone. Islamic perfumes or etch, best present idea for him. Due to the presence of alcohol in the perfumes, Muslims avoid using it. They try to find some alternative with a soothing smell. Etchs are the best possible option that Muslims can use on their clothes. They are alcohol-free as well as provide a soothing aroma. Numerous kinds of etch are available in the market with different soothing smells, but the most popular one is rose etch. So if you want to give a gift to your Muslim fellow who he can use gracefully, then etchs are the best possible option for it, especially in ceremonies. They can be from the list of best Islamic gift idea.
Now, when we look at the religion of Islam, we see that from an Islamic perspective, generosity is something that is liked and something that is very important and encouraged. And in fact, it's associated with faith. When you believe in God, you will be more generous. When you are a better worshiper and more devout individual, then that will be more likely that you will be able to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a virtue some people struggle with. Some people, they can't be generous. Some people, they like to hoard the money their whole life, and then the moment they die, they leave all the money in their bank account. That's it. They haven't done anything good with it. The religion of Islam encourages us to give during our lifetime. It encourages us to be a giver. And it is highly recommended. It is said that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, there was a man who died, and he had a storage, a warehouse that had dates in it. So he had written in his will that I want 1/3 of everything that I own to be given in the way of Allah after my death. You could do that in your wasiyah and your will. 1/3, you could put it, you could do with it whatever you want. 2/3 will go to the children and the inheritors and those who receive the inheritance. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he went with the family and they were asking Rasulullah for help and dividing and everything. So once they divided everything, they found one piece of date in the corner of the room. One piece of date. They brought it to Rasulullah. They tell him, Ya Rasulullah, we found this as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he took that date and he tells them, if this man who passed away, if he had given this one date during his life, It is much better for him than if he had given it after his death.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection. And of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en. Today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Yeah. food for thought.
Hello, everyone. We now present you a statement from the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, who, despite being in the state of occultation, keeps his eyes on the followers of the school of the Prophet's infallible Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. We are neither negligent of caring for you nor forgetful of you. And if it were not for that, hardship would have befallen you and the enemies would have massacred you. So fear God and support us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is about accepting the truth. The Holy Prophet Muhammad says, "Accept the truth from anyone who comes to you with it. Be he lowly or noble, even if he himself is detestable to you." So if somebody brings us the truth, Even if we don't like the person, even if he's a low person, he comes from a lower class of society than us, we may even have some problem with the person. We may have some, you know, enmity with the person. But still, if he brings us the truth, we should accept it. And reject falsehood from anyone who comes to you with it, be he lowly or noble, even if he is beloved to you. If somebody lies to us and brings something false to us, right? Even if we like the person, even if we love the person, he's our relative, he's our father, he's our mother, he's our child, or whoever he may be, we still should reject that lie, right? We should reject the lie and not accept it. In general terms, we should accept the truth from whoever it is coming from. In a similar hadith, Imam Sadiq is reported to have said, honor, al-iz, honor is that you humble yourself to the truth when you face it. Now, the truth doesn't necessarily have to be a statement that is true, right? It could be an action which is implies the truth, right? Or similarly, falsehood doesn't necessarily have to be a spoken lie. It could be an action performed by somebody which kind of implies something false. And in general terms, we can say that we should kind of understand what the truth is, and in this way understand truthful people. We shouldn't try to like understand what the truth is based on certain people, right? Who we consider to be true people, or conversely understand what is false based on certain people that we think are false or bad. You know, Imam Ali has been narrated to have said that verily the truth is not known through men. Al-haq la ya'raf bil-rijal. You cannot understand what is true through men by kind of associating it with certain people who you like, or you can't understand falsehood from, you know, relating it to certain people that you don't like. The Imam says, know the truth first and you will know its people. You should understand what is the truth is. I'rif al-haq ta'rif ahla. Meaning understand first what the truth is, you know, and then we can understand who true people are, who good people are, who we should associate with and who we should not associate with. We should make the truth the criterion for our associations and not vice versa. Our associations the criterion for what truth and falsehood are. Similarly, the Imam said, do not let consideration for a people's right hinder you from upholding the truth when it is against them. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at truth in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters all over the world. As you're hearing us, first and foremost, I really
thank Allah Almighty that we are back with another session of Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, right?
Yes.
So these sessions are a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Networks and also the students of Sevier School. So I'm really happy. I really thank you on behalf of all the students who are here. And we really thank you for joining us and being with us again. So, inshallah, in this session, we're going to learn a very, very important rule about how to fluently read the Quran Kareem. But before we go and learn the new rules, let's just have a quick review of our previous session, okay? So, first of all, let me say hello to all of you. Minha Hussein, salam alaikum.
Salam. How are you guys?
Everyone is fine. Alhamdulillah. Muhammad Yahya.
Salam. How are you guys?
How are you guys? He's asking you. Oh, well, we are fine. Good. So how about Mahdi? How about Hussein Musa? Are you fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine.
Okay, that's great. So everyone is fine. All Muslim brothers and sisters are fine. So it's time to go and take a quick review from our previous lessons. So in our previous lessons, we talked about the letters which are not written, but we have to pronounce them, yes? Like before that session, we talked about the letters which are written, but we don't have to pronounce them. We don't have to read them, like we skip them. So the letters which are not written and we have to pronounce them, one of the cases was with the letter, like there is sometimes a yi or e sound added to the words, okay? While it's not there, okay? But we add, understood? An E sound. It means we prolong the sound E, the ya sound, okay? For example, Rabbihi. Rabbihi. It's the word Rabbihi with kasra. Ha ends with kasra, okay? So if you want to connect this word with another word, so what do? You just prolong the sound of he, yes? How do you say
Rabbihi. Rabbuhu, like Rabbuhu.
Yes. Another case was when the ha. So the most important case was with the pronoun ha. Yes?
Yes.
Ha. So when it has a dhamma, sometimes you prolong the sound. Hu. When it has a kasra, sometimes you prolong the sound. He. Rabbihi. Lahu. Okay? But there were certain conditions that if the letter ha and the word which has the letter ha, the word ha, actually it's a word, okay? It's a pronoun. So if the word, okay, meets those conditions, of course we prolong the sound. If the word does not meet the conditions, of course you do not have to prolong it. For example, one of the conditions was, Mahdi, that the letter ha should not be sakin, the ha itself.
So if the ha is saken, we can't pronounce
it. We cannot even pronounce it with a harakat.
Yes.
Yes? We cannot assign it with a harakat. O, A, A. No. It doesn't have... We don't have any word, I think, that has... That, I mean, the letter or the word ha has a fatha. Okay? It only has a dhamma or a kasra. This ha, okay? Uh-huh. So the ha which has a fatha, that's the ha which is a pronoun for female. Ha, with an aleph it is. That's why it has fatha, okay? And it doesn't accept a kasra or a dhamma, right? For example, min ha, bi ha. You cannot say bi he, which is with an aleph. No, it doesn't accept a kasra. So that is the pronoun which is used for, ha pronoun which is used for female. But remember that this ha that we are talking, ishba'u ha il dhamir, it means like, prolonging the sound of ha, which is the pronoun, okay? We have to prolong it. It's the pronoun which is used for male, not female, okay? This one. And it's singular. Okay, Muhammad Yahya?
Yes.
So, the first condition was when you see that the ha letter, the ha word, okay? The dhamir, the pronoun itself, it's not sakin. If it is sakin, no. You can't prolong the sound because it doesn't produce any sound. That you should prolong it, okay? So Mahdi, the second condition was that the previous letter before that, it should not be Sakin.
Yeah, because if it be Sakin, we can't also read.
Oh, we cannot. Like min ho.
We can't
yes?
do min
ho. Noon is Sakin before ha, right? Yes. You cannot say min hu. It's wrong. Okay? It's wrong. So you don't have to say this way. An ho. You cannot prolong the sound of ho. An hu. No. And one more condition you got to remember is this. Inshallah, today our today's lesson as well, one of the cases is...
That the
we'll be talking
is
about... No, this news topic. The third condition to remember is that the letter after the letter ha. Look, we're talking about the letter ha itself, the letter before, and the letter after.
It shouldn't be sakin.
Ah, the letter after the ha as well should not be sakin. So three conditions. One, the ha itself should not be sakin. The previous letter should not be sakin. And the third letter or the letter after the letter ha should not be sakin.
But okay? Today's, like this Quran that we have, it just we don't need to see this. Just they put a small sign.
Uh-huh, small sign of? Yeah, yeah. Nowadays in some of the Qurans, not all the Qurans, okay? So they have printed, okay, the Qurans. There is also like a small wall.
Oh, yeah.
Small wall, a tiny or a baby wall, okay, written after the word ha. Small, tiny, like a dhamma, even smaller than a dhamma. So that helps you understand that, Hussein Musa, you got to prolong the sound.
Yeah, the like ho.
Great. That's oo sound. Prolong the sound. The ha has a kasra. There is what? Small, tiny ya. Okay? A fallen ya. Like it's a different ya this way. Like a fish. That tiny ya is written there, okay, to help you. And it marks that you have to prolong the sound. The e sound. Bihi.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
So now remember it, Minhal Hussein, that we said the third condition is that the next letter after ha should not be sakin. If the next letter after ha is sakin, for example, that's alif and lam, either alif lam ta'rif with shamsi letters, with moon letter, sun letters, okay, or qamari letters, moon letters, okay. So, what do? The ha is directly connected to the lam and you do not prolong the sound.
Hmm. I have a question. If the before letter has tashdid, still we can't do
tashdid,
that?
Tashdid, it means that the first letter is sakin, the second letter has harakat. It means the second letter which is before ha, that has harakat, that's okay.
And the third letter, if it has tashdid, we can't also do it?
No, here, I'm saying now, okay? Look, for example, alif and lam we have after ha. Suppose the word lahu, or bihi, prolong the sound, yes? Bihi. Great, that's the sound, okay, you prolong. But suppose there is another word, min Hussein, al-arud, bihi, then al-arud. So the lam is sakin, right?
Yes.
So the lam is sakin. Okay, that's the letter that comes after ha, yes? There is an aleph, of course, that's Hamzatul Wasl because we skip it. So there is a lam. So how do you read it here?
Rabbi,
should you prolong the sound?
Rabbi Hil.
You shouldn't.
Rabbi Hil, no, we didn't have Rab. Bihi.
Bihi al-arz.
Bihi. Bihi al-arz. Join them together.
Bihi
al-arz. You no longer prolong it.
Yeah.
So we no longer prolong the sound. Bihi al-arz. No. Bihi al-arz. Okay? Lahu al-arz. For example, lahu sama, for example, or any other word, okay? So remember that if the letter after ha ul-dhamir is a sakin letter, again we cannot prolong the sound. So in these today's some of the Qurans, okay, some of the copyrights of the Qurans. So you see that it's very easy because they have already assigned the ishba' al-dhamir, okay, with
the waw,
assigned a small yeah. tiny waw or a ya.
Yeah.
That's very easy. So wherever you do not see it, okay, it means you do not prolong.
Yes.
That's it. So let's recite a salawat, then we will go to the next topic. So alhamdulillah, we learned this one as well. The letters, okay, which are not written, but you gotta pronounce them or produce a longer sound, okay, stretched sound. Now the next topic that we have to focus on, and it's very important because some of the students make a lot of mistakes with this. So it's this. In Arabic, we say iltiqa'u sakinatain. Okay? Iltiqa'u sakinatain. Can you imagine?
Like two words?
So what does it mean in English?
Two sakins.
Ah, two sakin letters meet.
Yeah, meet together.
Each other. And it'll be impossible to read.
Suppose, okay, for example, two blind and deaf people meet one another. What do they do? Two blind. Same, sir. Two blind, at the same time, deaf. People meet one another, each other. So what do they do?
How do they meet each other?
How do they meet each other?
No one knows.
Okay, no one knows, yes? Only Mahdi knows. So.
No.
Those, okay. So two blind and deaf people, okay?
Just
meet one another. They cannot hear each other. They cannot see each other. So it means they are completely sakin, so silent.
They can't.
So what should we do here, okay? So the first sakin, we use the previous harakat, the harakat of the previous letter, yes?
Yes.
For example, Mahdi, if I have Hamza with Fatha and Ba with Sukun, I say?
Dot? No, sorry.
Hamza with Fatha and there is a Ba with Sukun. Ab, I use the harakat of Hamza to pronounce the letter Ba, right? Ab.
Why not?
Ad.
Hab.
Whatever, okay? So there is a sakin letter, so you use the previous letter, okay? I mean the harakat of the previous letter to, like, pronounce the next letter, which is sakin. But what if two sakin letters are there? What can I do?
So
is it possible?
How it's possible that two reads together, two sakin after each other?
How is it possible? Is it possible, Hussein Musa, in Arabic? You're an Arabic speaker.
Like in Arabic? No, it's not possible.
It's not possible because it's very difficult. So they don't have. Like you remember we said one time, okay, that the Arabic speakers, I mean in Arabic, okay, we don't have a word that starts with sukun.
That's, how do you read that?
Either it's not, it doesn't exist or it's very difficult, even if it exists, okay? It's very difficult to read it. We can't.
But
we can. That's why we use Hamzatul Wasl. That's why we have Hamzatul Wasl, okay? Because the word starts with the sukun and it's difficult. We can't start it.
So how
can you start, for example, Alhamdulillah? Lam is sakin, okay? How can you read it? No, lam is sakin. I cannot read it. La, le, lo. I can't read it.
Alhamdulillah.
I can't read it. That's why I use a Hamzatul Wasl and put a harakat on the top of Hamzatul Wasl, okay? And read it.
Alhamdulillah.
Look. Alhamdulillah. It becomes Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, whatever, okay?
Ar-Rahman.
Understood? Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. We finished the session as well. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. And besides, thanks to you, students of Sevier International School. And thanks to me.
Myself.
Yes, also. Thank you so much to those who help us hold this kind of sessions. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with us with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
The Ocean of Dua.
Allah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Wa la tafdahni bi khafi ma attala'ta alayhi min sirri. ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي.
Brothers and sisters, in this part of the Kumail supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam is mentioning four evil doings. وَلَا تُعَجِلْنِي بِالْعُقُوبَةِ عَلَى مَا عَمِلْتُهُ فِي خَلَوَاتِ. O Allah, I ask you not to hasten me to punishment for what I have done in private. مِنْ سُوءِ فِعْلِي وَإِسَاءَتِ. My evil acts in secrecy and my misdeeds. وَدَوَامِ تَفْرِيطِي وَجَهَالَتِي. My continuous negligence and my ignorance. وَكَثْرَةِ شَهَوَاتِي. And my manifold passions. وَغَفْلَتِي. And my forgetfulness. Regarding three of these four evil doings, I mean dissipation, ignorance, and passion, we talked in the previous episode. And the common point among all these four evil doings is to be unaware of the duties and rights of servitude. Regarding kathrati shahawati, or the passion, in the previous episode, we had a look at some of our traditions from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, warning the Muslim believers about this passion. That is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْثَرُ مَا تَلِجُ بِهِ أُمَّتِي النَّارِ الْأَجْوَفَانِ. The most common reasons for which my nation enters hell is الْبَطْنُ وَالْفَرْجِ, the passion of belly and sexual passion. Anyway, the fourth evil doing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions in this phrase is forgetfulness. وَكَثْرَةِ شَهَوَاتِي وَغَفْلَتِي, and my forgetfulness. So, forgetfulness in this part means unawareness of something that one has been aware of previously. Too much engagement in worldly issues, appearance, and desires, they are all due to forgetfulness of Almighty Allah. And the Day of Judgment, they are all because of forgetfulness of obedience, the meaning of servitude, and worship.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements. And my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we hear, feed in about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, in his wise advices, warns people of the damages that forgetfulness can cause in the people. Al-ghaflatu adarru al-a'da, he says. Forgetfulness is the most harmful enemy. And he says, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْغَفْلَةِ فَنَسِيَ الرِّحْلَةَ وَلَمْ يَسْتَعِدْ. Woe to the one who is overcome by forgetfulness, and hence he forgets his emigration to the next world and would not get prepared for it. Dear listeners, you may remember in the previous episodes, we discussed the concept of death of heart, that the heart somehow transforms and cannot do its functions. The heart cannot receive the light of guidance from the Almighty Allah and dissipate it, on the other hand. That was caused by forgetfulness, negligence, and sins, and this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions. مَنْ غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْغَفْلَ مَاتَ قَلْبُهُ. The one who is overcome by forgetfulness, his heart dies. We also have the same concept with different words throughout the words of the Ahlul Bayt. It is said, دَوَامُ الْغَفْلَةِ يُعْمِ الْبَصِيرَةِ. Continuation of forgetfulness blinds human insight. And this insight, when it has been taken away from a Muslim, all the constituents, the most important constituents of the person that we can call him a Muslim, is taken away from him. He was called Muslim because he was always aware of the existence of the Almighty Allah, aware of the existence of hereafter and the life afterwards. But now, دوام الغفلة يعمي البصيرة. Continuation of forgetfulness it is that blinds human insight. Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, the second infallible Imam, has stated, الغفلة تركك المسجد وطاعتك المفسد. Ignoring the worship at mosque and obeying the corrupted people are the signs of forgetfulness. So forgetfulness can have many signs. Among them is ignoring worshipping at mosque and obeying the corrupted people. Brothers and sisters, we are done with this phrase of Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part of the Kumail supplication, and we will, God willing, move to the next part in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Thank you. IRIB English Radio.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثتُ لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are welcome to For a Better Life with me, Javed Akbari. This natural universe is not eternal. It has started at a certain time and will reach its end at a certain time. We call this world a mortal world, a world which is not going to be to last forever. The earth, the sun, the moon, and all the stars, and all the planets, the constellations, will be destroyed before the resurrection. This fact is expressed by many verses of the Holy Quran. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun is covered, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدْرَتْ, and when the stars darken, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, and when the mountains are made to pass away, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, and when the camels are left untended, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشْرَتْ, and when the wild animals are made to go forth, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas are set on fire, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, and when souls are united. So these verses are some of the verses which suggest that the world will be destroyed one day, sooner or later. But we have to believe, we have to understand that this world and the life in this world is not permanent. It is mortal. The world is mortal. And whoever is born in this world is mortal. Allah Almighty said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, tell the people that I am mortal like you. I am mortal like you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, everything in this universe has a certain end. Our bodies are mortal. Our physical lives, our powers, our youth, fame, and beauty are mortal. They are perishable. They are not going to last forever. Allah is eternal. Allah is the eternal being. And of course, our spirits belong to the spiritual universe and not to the corporeal universe. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So our spirits belong to the